بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most kind and generous with the companion, with the believers. How can it be that a needy man comes to the Messenger of Allah and returns empty handed? Immediately on seeing this needy man, on seeing that he is suffering from starvation, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ نِسَائِهِ sends a message to one of his wives, telling her that whatever you have inside the house, whatever little food you have inside the house, send it, a needy man has arrived. Our mother replies, لَا وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ بِالْحَكِّ مَا إِنْدِي إِلَّا مَا. I swear by the one who has sent you with truth, O Nabi of Islam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nothing inside my house besides water. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to another one of his wives. Yet again the reply is the same, La wallahi ba'asa bilhaqi ma indi illa ma. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to each and every one of his wives, telling them that whatever food you have, send it. Yet again, our mother's reply, La wallahi ba'atha bilhaqi ma indi illa ma. We swear by the one who has sent you with truth, O Nabi of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, you have asked for food, but there is no food in our houses. There is nothing in our houses besides water. Our mothers were going through difficult times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks the Sahaba, Man yajibu hadha al-layla, who will take this person today, who will take him home and give him food, who will entertain him as a guest tonight. فقام رجل من الأنصار فقال أنا يا رسول الله. A man from amongst the Ansar, on seeing that his Muslim brother is in need, on seeing that his Muslim brother is in pain, on seeing that his Muslim brother is suffering from starvation, my brothers, immediately he stands and he volunteers, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, do not worry, I will take him to my house. He returns home and he asks his wife, Hal indaki shay'un, tell me, is there any food inside the house? The guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to come to our house tonight. A needy Muslim is going to come to our house tonight. His wife replies, La illa kutu sibyani, oh, there is no food inside the house, and you have brought the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, listen very carefully to what he says. He tells his wife, فَعَلِّلِيهِمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَإِذَا there is no food inside our house besides a very little, which is just sufficient for the children. He tells his wife, فَأَلِّلِيهِمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَإِذَا أَرَادُوا الْأَشَاءَ فَنَوِّمِيهِمْ. Give the children something to chew on when it is time for the evening meal, and our children, our flesh and blood, cry for their food, ask for their food, do not give them anything to sleep, to eat, lay the children to sleep, put the children to sleep without feeding them, as the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to eat the food of our children. فَإِذَا دَخَلَ دَيْفُنَا فَطْفَ إِسْتِرَاجِ. When our guest enters, then put out the lamp, and we will pretend, and we will sit with him, and we will pretend to eat. It is evening, it is nightfall, the guest enters, the wife does as her husband has ordered, she puts out the lamp, and they sit with the guest, and they pretend to eat with him. They give preference to the guest over their children, over their flesh and blood. Their flesh and blood cried and cried till they finally fell asleep hungry. My brothers, when this Ansari, when he visits Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam next morning, the Messenger of Allah says to him, قَدْ عَجِبَ اللَّهُ مِنْ سَنِئِكُمَ بَدَيْفِكُمَ. That Allah has appreciated your entertainment with the guest last night, that you gave preference to the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You gave preference to a needy Muslim over yourselves and over your children. You went to sleep hungry, your wife went to sleep hungry, your children cried and cried, and they finally went to sleep hungry, and you gave preference to your guest. Allah has appreciated your entertainment with a guest last night, and the Quran is revealed from the heavens. وَيُسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. They give preference over themselves, though poverty may become their lot. This was the love amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, and this is the love and brotherhood Islam is demanding from you and I today. Abu Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum narrates, one of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum received the goat's head as a present. He was desperately in need of this goat's head. But he thought of a Muslim brother, he thought of a neighbor who had a larger family and was in greater need of it than himself. He took this goat's head, though he himself was in need, and he gave it to this Muslim brother, to his neighbor. When this second Muslim brother received this goat's head, though he had a large family, though he himself was desperately in need of this goat's head, he himself thought of another Muslim brother, thought of another neighbor who he considered more in more need than himself, and he took this goat's head and he gave it to this third Muslim brother. My brothers, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, لَقَدْ تَدَاوَرَتْ سبعة أبيات رأس شات يؤثر به بعضهم بعضا وإن كلهم لمحتاج إليه حتى رجع إلى البيت الذي خرج منه. That this goat's head changed hands seven times. This goat's head changed hands every time. A Sahabi, though he himself was in need of it, he saw it of another Muslim brother and he gave it to this other Muslim brother as a present. My brothers, like this, the goat's head changed seven times till it finally came back to the original person from whom the circulation had started. Let us learn from these people. Let us learn from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Tradition tells us that Masruq owed a heavy debt. His brother Khaisama radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also in debt. Masruq, though he himself was in debt, when it came to his knowledge that his brother Khaisama was in debt, he went and paid Khaisama's debt off without his knowledge. When it came to Khaisama's knowledge that Masruq was in debt, my brother though he himself was in debt, he went to pay off Masruq's debt without his knowledge. This was a love and brotherhood amongst them. The hadith can be found in Bukhari, narrated by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an. He says that an Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Ansar an taqta'u lahum al-Bahrain. Once our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Ansar so that he could give them the land of Bahrain. My brothers, look how they reply. They reply, لا إلا أن تقضى لإخواننا من المحاجرين مثلها. O Messenger of Allah, we will not take this land till you give a similar share to our immigrant brothers, till you give a similar share to the muhajirin. This was the love and brotherhood amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. And this is the love and brotherhood Islam is demanding from you and I today. And Islam is demanding from each and every Muslim that is walking on the surface of this earth today. When love for one another was greater than that of loyal brothers, when all the believers were united in the golden chain of Islam, when they all believed in the slogan, united we rise, united we fall, my brothers, powerful empires melted away like snow before them. Have we forgotten the Battle of Badr? 313 Muslims went to fight 1,000 kuffar. Picture this in your mind's eye. The state of the 313 Muslims was such that many of them, their clothes are torn. Many of them, their faces are showing signs of starvation. They hardly have any weapons. Many of them are carrying sticks. Many of them are carrying broken spades. Many of them do not have shoes or sandals on their feet. They are walking barefooted. Many of them have never fought before. They do not know how to fight. This was the state of the 313 Muslims. And they went to fight 1,000 proud men, 1,000 kuffar. The kuffar, they are 3 times more than the Muslims. The kuffar are well prepared. They have the latest weapons of the time. They are wearing armor. They have swords in their hands. They have 100 horses. They have 700 camels. They are waiting to put an end to Islam. They are waiting to remove the Muslims from the surface of the earth. This is the situation. This is the state of the kuffar. This is the situation of the two armies. My brothers, the difference is the Muslims, though they are 313, their hearts are clean. Their hearts are full of iman. Their heart is full of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and love for one another. Their hearts are clean and they are together. They are united. The kuffar, though they are 1,000, in reality they are 1,000 separate pieces. My brothers, when they fought together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of the enemy. The 313 were victorious and the 1,000 were defeated. The 1,000 kuffar were defeated. And we forgot in the Battle of Muta. In the Battle of Muta, the Muslims numbered 3,000. The kuffar were over 200,000. They were more than 200,000. If one is questioned today, two different armies are ready to go to war with one another. One has 3,000 troops. The other has more than 200,000 troops. Tell me who is going to be victorious and who is going to be defeated. I'm sure the reply will be the same. There will only be one answer, that the 3,000 will be defeated and removed from the surface of this earth and the 200,000 will be victorious. The Muslims proved this philosophy wrong 1400 years ago. In the Battle of Muta, the Muslims were 3,000. The Kuffar numbered over 200,000. Yet again, the difference between the Muslims and the Kuffar were the 3,000 Muslims in reality were one single body. Their hearts were clean. Their hearts were united. And their hearts were full of love and brotherhood. The Kuffar, they were 200,000 plus. In reality, they were 200,000 separate pieces. At the time of war, when they fought with one another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of the enemy. The 200,000 were defeated and the 3,000 Muslims were victorious. This is the benefit of unity. This is the benefit of love and brotherhood. When love and brotherhood, when love was greater than that of real brothers, my brothers, such was the power of one Muslim that he could walk into the land of the Kuffar and send waves of terror in the hearts of the Kuffar and return alive and come back in one piece. It is the Battle of Qadisiyah. 3 days before the Battle of Qadisiyah, the Kuffar went to meet with the Muslims. The Muslim general is Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu chose Hazrat Rabi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu to meet with the Kuffar. Hazrat Rabi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he reaches the bridge, the Kuffar stop him. And they inform Rustam of his arrival. Rustam consults the great men of Persia. Ma tarawn, O great men of Persia, tell me what is your opinion. Anubahi am natahawal. Shall we show greatness? Shall we adopt bravery? Or shall we adopt gentleness? They all chose the latter. Let us be gentle, they said. My brothers, the best carpets of Persia were laid. The best rugs of Persia were laid. The best beds and couches were set. No decorative equipment was spared. A throne of gold was set for Rustam. He wore a garment of fine silk. He took his place. The great men of Persia took their places. The noblemen of Persia took their places and waited for the Muslim to come. This was the situation of the Kuffar. And now comes the Muslim. Now comes Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's riding a horse which was lean and short. He's wearing an armor. He has a turban on his head. In his hand, he has a shining sword. He has with him a shield of cowhide. And he has with him bow and some arrows. And his clothes are torn. This was the state of Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he reaches their carpet, he is told to dismount. Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu ignores the kuffar. فَحَمَلَهَا عَلَى الْبِسَاطِ. And he ascends the carpet. And forces the great men of Persia, the noble men of Persia, to move from their place. He keeps him riding on the carpet. After a short while, he himself dismounts. Remember, he is alone. All the kuffar are watching. He is in the land of the enemy. The army of the kuffar is there. The noble men are there. The great men of Persia are there. The king of Persia is there. And Hazrat Rabi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu is by himself. They are all watching. He dismounts. He takes one of the pillows. He rips the pillow. One of the best pillows of Persia. He rips it in two pieces. And somehow ties his horse to it. They are all bewildered. They are all stunned. They are all gobsmacked. That this is the courage of a Muslim in the land of the enemy? Thereafter the courtiers say to him, lay down your arms. He replies, إِنِّي لَمْ آتِكُمْ فَأَضَعُ سِلَاحِ بِأَمْرِكُمْ. I have not come to you, so I laid down my arms at your bidding. Or كُفَّارْ أَنْتُمْ دَعَوْتُمُونِي. It was you who have called me. And if you do not like the way I have come, فَإِنْ أَبَيْتُ مَنْ آتِيَكُمْ إِلَّا كَمَا أُرِيدُ وَإِلَّا رَجَعْتُ. If you do not like the way I have come, then I will return. Go tell your king. Rustam is informed. And Hazrat Nabi رضي الله تعالى عنه is given permission to come as he pleases. Reclining in his lance, Hazrat Nabi رضي الله تعالى عنه walks slowly, taking short steps, poking its sharp point everywhere, ripping their carpets, their rugs, their couches as he passes. And they are all watching, and they are all bewildered and stunned. When he reaches the king, he does not sit on their carpet. He sits on the floor, and he thrusts his lance into Rustam's carpet. Rustam asks, "Ma ja'a bikum? Tell me what has brought you." My brothers, he replies, "Allahu ibta'athana, wallahu ja'a bina linukhrij man sha'a min 'ibadati al-'ibad ila 'ibadati Allah, wa min dhiq ad-dunya ila sa'atiha, wa min jawr al-ajyan ila 'adl al-islam." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Only if you understood what these words mean. He said, Allah has raised and sent us to take out those whom He pleases from the servitude of men to the worship of Allah alone, and from the narrowness of this world to the vastness of the hereafter, and from the tyranny of religion to the justice of Islam. Muslim, when he hears this, he says to his people, "O you fools, لا تنظروا إلى الثياب، انظروا إلى الرأي والكلام والسيرة." O you fools, do not look at his clothes that they are torn. Look at his judgment. Look at his power of speech. And look at his habit. My brothers, Hazrat Rabi'i رضي الله تعالى عنه returns. Next day, the kuffar want to meet with the Muslims again. And they want to meet with the same person. This time, the Muslim general, Abu Sa'd ibn Waqqas رضي الله تعالى عنه, sent Hazrat Uzayfa ibn Mihsan. Hazrat Uzayfa رضي الله تعالى عنه comes exactly in the same manner as Hazrat Rabi'i رضي الله تعالى عنه. When he reaches the carpet, he is also told to dismount. Subhanallah, listen to his reply. He says, "ذلك لو جئتكم في حاجتي." That I would have dismounted if I came to my own need, if the need was mine. Go ask your king, أَلَوْ الْحَاجَ أَمْ لِي. Is the need his or is the need mine? If your king says that the need was mine, then your king is a liar and I will return. And if your king says that the need was his, then Huzayfa will come as he pleases. When he reaches the king yet again asks the same question. Tell me what brings you. He replies, Allah has sent us to call people to one of three things. Imma al-Islam. Embrace Islam and we will move on. We will return. Imma al-Jizya. If you do not want to embrace Islam, then pay the tax. And we will protect you like we protect our own. And if you do not want to pay the tax, then the third thing is Imma al-Saif. War. The king on hearing this said, "There is peace in your religion for some days. Before you wage war, you give the opposition time to think." He replied, "Yes, 3 days. Starting from yesterday, today is the second. Tomorrow, we will remove you from the face of this earth." My brothers, he returned. Rustam says to his people, "Oh, you fools, have you not seen what I have seen? جاءنا الأول فغلبنا على أرضنا وحقر ما نؤذن." That the first man came yesterday, Hazrat Rabi'i رضي الله تعالى عنه, and he dominated and ruled over in our land. He walked on our carpet. He rode on our carpet. He ripped our pillow. And yet, we could not say anything to him. He considered those things that we consider great, he considered these things despicable. Everything that we possess will go to them because they have no intellect. This with the power of one Muslim. When the Muslim were together, when the Muslim were united, when love and brotherhood prevailed amongst the Muslims, this was the power of one Muslim, that he could walk into the land of the kuffar and he could rule and dominate over them and send waves of terror in the heart of the kuffar by himself and return alive. This is the fruit of unity, respect and honor. However, whenever the Muslims began to argue with one another, whenever the Muslims left the Quran and Sunnah, whenever the Muslims began to dispute and disunite, the kuffar have always and will always walk all over us. Have we forgotten what happened to Baghdad in the past? Baghdad was the capital of the Islamic world. Baghdad was the capital and the center of all types of knowledge. Thousands of jurists, fuqaha, were born in Baghdad. Thousands of muhaddithin, masters of hadith, were born in Baghdad. But when the Muslims began to disunite, began to dispute one another, began to argue and divide into groups, and every group went their own way, my brothers, the Tartars came and they slaughtered 1,600,000 Muslims when they were disunited. 1,600,000 Muslims they slaughtered. All the religious books were thrown in the Dajra, were thrown in the river Tigris. So many books were thrown in the river Tigris that it is written in the books of history that the Tigris, its water turned black due to the ink coming from these books. It is written in the books of history that the Muslims at the time were so afraid of the Tartars that if a Tartarian woman stopped a Muslim in the marketplace and said to him, "Wait here, I'm going to fetch this sword to slaughter you," my brothers, the Muslim would become so afraid that he would not move an inch. The Tartarian woman would go home, she would fetch the sword and she would slaughter the Muslim. This is the bitter fruit of disunity, humiliation. What is it to be? Is it to be the blessings of unity, respect and honor? Or is it to be the bitter fruit of disunity, disgrace and humiliation? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. فَقُولُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانَ. Let us live like brothers. And let us love one another like brothers. And let us treat one another like brothers. SubhanAllah. Look what awaits those that love one another. Because Islam says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. Because the Quran says that we are all brothers. The hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. says that Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. Our Nabi s.a.w. has said, كَإِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ لَأُنَاسًا مَا هُمْ بِأَنْبِيَاءَ وَلَا شُهَدَاءَ يَغْبِطُهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِمَكَانِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. There are servants of Allah who are no prophets and no martyrs, but the servants of Allah, but the prophets and martyrs will envy them on the day of Qiyamah due to their high status and rank. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in heard this, that certain people on the day of resurrection, because of their high status, the prophets of Allah and the martyrs will envy them. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in asked, "Ya Rasulullah, tell us, who are these people that the martyrs and prophets will envy them due to their high status?" Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Huwa qawman fahabu bi ruhillahi min ghayri arhamin baynahum wala amwalin yata'atawnaha." They are those people who love one another, not because they had a blood connection, not because they were from the same race, they were from the same tribe, they were of the same color, they spoke the same language. No, not because of this, but because the Quran said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, that Muslims are brothers. every Muslim on the face of this earth is a brother to another Muslim, and Muslims should respect one another and they should love one another. These people, they love one another because the Quran said so, because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. Because of this, they will receive such a status on the day of resurrection that even the prophets of Allah and the martyrs will envy them. إِنَّ وَجُوهَهُمْ لَنُورٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَعَلَى نُورٍ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ إِذَا خَافَ النَّاسُ وَلَا يَحْزَنُونَ إِذَا حَزَنَ النَّاسُ. And their faces will be noor, and they will be sitting on minbars, on pulpits made of noor, and they will not fear when people fear, and they will not grieve when people grieve. On the plain of resurrection, on the day of resurrection, when all of mankind is assembled, and when the sun is above the head, and people are drowning in sweat, people are in sweat according to their sins, and hell is brought, and the gates of hell are open, and the hot air blows into their faces, and the people are so close together that they cannot even breathe. My brothers, such will be the status of these people who love one another, that they will not grieve on that day, and they will not fear on that day, as they will be under the shade of the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reward that waits them on the day of resurrection, and in the last day after, Jannah awaits them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the ability and tawfiq to act upon what I have said. And Allah, take this illness out of our hearts, this boasting about racial origins, and this pride, and this nationalism. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to love one another, and respect one another, and treat one another like brothers. فَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.